Hello, I'm Elizabeth, an obsessive backyard gardener who might be able to offer you a couple of tips.
And I'm Keith, a landscape consultant, and I'm also passionate about gardening.
The one thing we both have in common is
muddy boots.
Do you ever feel like you live in the wrong climate? Do you love the dramatic and lush look of a tropical garden, but wonder how you can ever have one while you live in a cool climate? Well, today we're going to tell you that it is possible to have a tropical-inspired garden wherever you are, with the correct plant choices. It is just a matter of imitating the key characteristics of this style of garden. Keith, what are those characteristics?
Well, there's lots of characteristics with all that, let me tell you. But, you know, I mean, I think people love the idea of the tropical garden, even down here in Melbourne with the biting winds in the midst of winter and the cold rain.
Because they wish they were in Queensland. Yeah,
exactly, or Bali or somewhere else where they've had a lovely
holiday
and it's just a relaxing sort of thing.
True.
You know, in Melbourne we're not part of the tropics. However, we do have a large palette of plants that we can borrow from the subtropics.
Yeah.
And they will even grow down here without much of a worry at all.
Fantastic. But also we can, as far as shapes and sizes and things like that of plants, you can make something out of
absolutely.
That with all the plants that will obviously survive in Melbourne.
All right, so in terms of design, this isn't much different to, you know, how I would attack any other sort of designs.
Okay.
You know, it's just simply this. The only difference is the planting and the techniques of planting.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
All right, so tropical gardens are characterised by having a dense wall of luscious, bold foliage and textures where the fences and the boundaries are covered to provide depth.
Yes, so it's about sort of really cramping it in, isn't it?
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Right, so there's no transition between the layers of plants. Rather, the effect should be that all plants are jostling for space.
Yeah. Yep.
Just like they would look in a jungle.
Yes.
All right, so other components for these are adding things like pathways, garden rooms.
Mm-hmm.
There might be Balinese-style huts. These sorts of things all go into making that really look good.
Yes.
But the most important thing
is the soil.
Is the soil. All right. So if anyone's ever been to the tropics or to Bali, wherever else, they will notice that there's enormous amounts of leaf litter on the ground, right? So you and that those soils are incredibly well drained because they're basically sand, but well drained, lots and lots of goodness and things, and that's you know, how we have to recreate that to make that microclimate.
Okay. Yep. How do we recreate it, Keith?
Well, we've got to put lots and lots of compost into the soils. Mm. We've got to put things like our favourite friends.
We've got biochar.
Yeah.
We've got rock dust.
Yes.
We've got the those things.
Microgold, the fungal spores.
Gosh, I've heard this about 100 times. I still can't remember that one.
And even things like zeolite, which is a wonderful mineral that has an incredible high cation exchange, so it can hold enormous amounts of moisture and goodness and things in the soil as well.
So once we've got that in place, obviously, but that's the basis for this beautiful tropical garden.
Exactly. So where we've got to start is actually on the boundaries.
Okay.
So we plant lots of taller plants on the boundaries.
Yes.
And what these will do, they will shelter and they'll protect the smaller, tender species from the cold winds.
So they're creating a canopy for the cold,
to
protect them from the cold winds and the heat, when we do get some heat in Melbourne, the heat of the sun as well.
Exactly.
So they're doing both jobs. Yep.
And then with the smaller and the more tender plants, you would pack those into groups or you would plant them up close towards the house themselves, you know, so that the smaller plants, you're looking over them. But the reason for that is that the house becomes a heat soak.
Soaks
up the sun's energy and stores it and releases it through the cold of the night.
Okay.
All right, so when you're ready to plant, you try planting off in groups, and you start with glossy green leaves punctuated by strappy foliage or foliage with different coloured leaves.
Yes,
you know, that's just to make the whole thing look really, really, you know, natural,
okay,
a tropical thing.
Yep.
The upper story of the plants are normally palms,
mm-hmm.
and there are lots of varieties that look great and work well within our climate, our colder climate down here in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Bangalow palms, and they're probably one of the first that I go to because they have a beautiful trunk. They don't require a lot of maintenance, like the Cocos palms or the Kentia palms. They are just, rather dirty, messy things that if you've got a lot of time, that's what you're going to be doing, cleaning those things up.
Yep.
Then, of course, we've got the most elegant of the palms, which is the date palm.
Mm.
And if you've got enough money to have a date palm, then you're going to have a wonderful garden, let me tell you.
Oh, so they're expensive, aren't they?
They're very expensive.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's the Australian cabbage palm. They look fabulous as well.
And these are all really tall.
These are all the tall canopy plants that we're going to get up to protect the other plants.
Yep.
So these could be, in actual fact, not on the boundary of the fences because they're all trunks, but the second line in.
Okay.
We would plant the outer edges
mm-hmm.
with things. We could put things around the outer edges like avocados.
Ooh.
We could put morayas.
Yeah, hang on, sorry. Avocados in Melbourne?
Well, yeah, I've got four down in my place.
Oh, I've never tried one of your avocados. Okay. I for some reason was under the impression they didn't do as well, but obviously they do.
No, they grow beautifully.
Okay,
they
fantastic.
Grow beautifully.
Okay.
In fact, if you pick the varieties, some of those will get to 9 metres tall.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a beautiful
fantastic canopy.
Big leaf,
fabulous
looking
and
plant.
And gosh, wander into the garden and pick an avocado.
Pick an avocado. And you're almost in the tropics again.
You are. Yep. Sorry, keep going. Yes.
All right, the other ones, as I mentioned, were the morayas.
Yes.
The lily pillies.
Yes.
The macadamias. Mm. They will also grow beautifully down here as well. And then we start, as we're coming in, we have the palms naturally, and then we have the smaller palms.
So we're getting to the medium sort of, the second layer now.
So there's a one that I absolutely adore, and it's worth a look at if you're interested in tropical gardens. It's called the Chinese windmill palm.
Okay,
it's,
sounds nice.
Probably is called Trachycarpus fortunae,
okay.
I believe. And then you've got the dwarf fan palms. And then what you can also mix in there are bananas.
Oh.
So bananas will grow down here, particularly the dwarf Cavendish.
Oh, fantastic.
Grow beautifully here.
Yeah.
I had a whole heap of bananas in my backyard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You did. Have you just removed one?
I took them all out. I got sick of cleaning off the dead leaves and so forth.
Okay, so don't get bananas.
and then in order to have that extra sensory thing about a tropical garden is you can go and put in some edible plants in there.
Yeah.
Now, so I've just mentioned the banana. We've mentioned the avocado, the macadamias.
Yes.
But there are things like the cool mountain pawpaws.
Mm.
Golden fruit of the Andes, which is a stunning plant with huge leaves and beautiful yellow fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you've got white sapotes, which I've got in my backyard.
Yes.
And pineapple guavas. And all those.
It sounds like heaven, this tropical garden.
You can make it, just the way that it works for you.
Yeah.
And as I said, you need to cramp everything together because they'll protect each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always remove and gift mm-hmm. some of those plants when they do become overcrowded in the landscape.
Very good idea. Now, there are, as you were talking about the edible plants, there are also the important thing, as you were saying in the beginning, was the colour of this garden. Tropical gardens, I imagine, very bright coloured plants.
Yes.
And you can get that in the foliage, you can get that in the flowers as well.
Exactly.
And as far as foliage of coloured foliage of plants is concerned, what can you come up with? There are things like I'm trying to think what they are. Cordylines. Is it a cordyline? They're quite colourful.
Yeah, they
colours.
Are. But then there's lots of beautiful colours from the canna.
Canna lilies.
Canna
and calla lilies, yep. Okay.
So you can get some beautiful varieties of those. There's one called the Bengal tiger, which has got this beautiful limey green with dark green stripes through it.
Mm-hmm.
Hostas. Yeah, hostas will also give you that tropical look and a bit of colour. So there's lots and lots of things. I mean, ginger lilies, for instance.
Oh, yes.
There's some that they give you that beautiful lush leaf, and then you've got the beautiful fragrant heads of flowers that come out on the top of those.
Heuchera.
Yeah, that's a ground cover.
That's more of a ground cover.
That can come in any colour you can possibly think of.
Yes, I know, I've seen them.
Lots and lots of colours of those.
Cordyline. There's just
we mentioned the cordyline.
Yeah, sorry.
That will work in a tropical
Look. Sorry, what about, you were talking about edible plants, what about passion fruit?
Yes, that's great for screening off a wall.
Yes, and there's another fruit to be picked.
Yep.
As one's wandering through their tropical garden. But
make sure you get a seed variety.
Mm-hmm. Heard that before. Mandevilla.
Yes, Mandevilla.
Bougainvillea.
Bougainvilleas, yeah. They've actually hybridised the bougainvilleas now so that they're nowhere near as rampant as they are up in Queensland. And a lot of them have less thorns on them. I mean, they really are something that, you know, you get stuck in, they'll rip you to bits.
Okay, well, we'd get the hybridised version of that then. Okay, fantastic. Ferns.
Yeah, lots of tree ferns will work beautifully in that aspect. And, of course, things like strelitzias.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll work. There's the small variety, which is Strelitzia reginae, and then there's the larger variety of that, which works beautifully too. So huge, big palm-type leaves on that.
Okay. I've got actually quite a long list that I'm looking at here. Things like rice paper plant.
Yeah, my favourite. Love it.
Have you got that in the garden?
I've got two of those in the front yard. They're just slow out of the box at the moment because it's leaving me with a big hole in a perennial garden.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's Tetrapanax papyrifera.
Okay.
And it has huge leaves that are really spiked, like they've got very, very sharp margins on the leaves.
Mm.
They're dark green on the front, and when the wind blows, they're a grey colour on the back, so you get this fabulous contrast with the leaves. And then, of course, there's another plant that works well with the Tetrapanax, and that is a plant called Fatsia japonica, which is a dark green glossy leaf, and it'll get quite tall.
Mm.
And then, of course, you know, you can always add to the garden grasses such as Miscanthus, Sinensis, there's Flamingo, Kyle Forrester, there's other plants like Calamagrostis, you know, so there's lots of beautiful grasses that just give you this beautiful, you know, sense of the tropics, I guess.
It sounds divine.
Yeah.
It sounds absolutely divine. Another thing is, I think you mentioned the Balinese hut. We can put a Balinese hut in, you can put a sculpture in, there are all sorts of things you can add, which is very much a tropical style.
Yeah, hammocks.
A hammock, a chair, all sorts of lovely things.
And some water features.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, some trickling water or just the sound of that.
Yeah.
Just conjures up, you know, this beautiful tropical sort of thing. So it's the physical senses that you have, and also your perceptive senses, you know, the smell of the you know, say the ginger lilies and the sound of bubbling water.
See, the whole thing about this tropical garden is that it's evoking this sort of sense of calm, sense of relaxation, because I suppose that's attached to a holiday, really, isn't it?
Memories.
Heaven.
Big deep breaths.
So you don't need a large garden to create a tropical atmosphere. It can really be done on any size block, can't it? It doesn't matter. As long as you can squash it all in. You need to squash it all in. So it's a look that is sure to stand out and goes perfectly with hot summers and swimming pools and lounge areas. So we hope this has given you some ideas and the confidence to build your tropical garden wherever you may be. Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au, and happy gardening.